Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. I don't have a sermon this morning. I have a message. And this message is not necessarily for every person in this room. This is specifically for those who are sad. If anyone is sad, this is for those who are disappointed in themselves. Disappointed with their attitude. Disappointed with what they are. This is for those who are frustrated over their sin. That's specifically who this is for. Disgusted with the sin that is in them and on them. This is for those who would love one moment of relief. Just one moment of relief from the heartache and the stress, the sadness that comes from sin. Solomon wanted it. He wanted it. Look at Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2. Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." All is vanity. Verse 12, he said, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail." Sore travail. "Hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." It's all tainted with sin. Every bit of it. Verse 17, he said, "I gave my heart to know wisdom." But in verse 18, he said, "In much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." It is true, isn't it? Ignorance is bliss. Such bliss. So chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "I sought in mine heart to give myself to wine. I'll drink myself happy." It didn't work. Verse 4, he said, "I made me great works." Verse 5, "I made me gardens and orchards." Verse 6, "I made me pools of water." Verse 7, "I got me servants and maidens." Verse 8, "I gathered me also silver and gold." Verse 9, "I was great." I was great. Verse 11, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity in vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." In every bit of it, I sunk down in the sorrow of my sin. Doesn't sin taint everything? It's good for a minute, No, sin reigned. And he said, I sunk down in the sorrow of my sin. None of it helped me. I'll do this. That didn't work. I'll do this. That didn't work. I'll do this. That didn't work. None of it helped me. Oh, that I might find a moment of relief from the heartache and the sorrow of sin. It's with us, isn't it? It's such a beautiful day. Oh, it's with us. It's going to take no time. And we're going to be down in the heartache and sorrow of sin. It's just the way it is. Oh, that I might find some relief. David wanted it. His father. Turn with me over to Psalm 38. Psalm 38, verse 1, David said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As in heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. And there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. My heart is sad. My heart is sad. And I cannot find any relief because of my sin. Is that not what he said at the end of verse 3? Because of my sin. Oh, that I might find some relief. Just a minute of relief. Job wanted it. He said, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Oh, he sat there scraping himself saying, oh, I wish I could find some relief. Paul wanted it. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I just wish somebody could deliver me from this body of death. If we, along with these men, say the same thing, then this message is for us. Today's message is for us. I want to show us the remedy for sadness. The absolute remedy for sadness. I want to show us the cure for heartache and stress over sin. If a person in reality is ever down in that pit, I want to show you the cure. Go with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 18 says, and the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast? But thy disciples fast not. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom, As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. You know what the word fast means? Mourn. Cry. Be sad. Do without. Let me prove that to you in Matthew 9. Look at Matthew 9 with me. Matthew 9, verse 14 says, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" Can they mourn? Can they be sad as long as the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot. They cannot. Do you know what that tells me? As I wallow in my sinful misery, I need to get to Jesus Christ. I need to get to Jesus Christ. Somehow I need to find myself in His presence. I need to pull up a chair at His feet. Because as long as I'm with Him, I cannot sorrow over my sin. I cannot. It's impossible. As long as I am hearing His voice, listen to what Solomon said. This is what Solomon wrote. He said, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved. Sweet is thy voice." Have you ever heard His voice through His word? I've always loved how one man was asked one time, "Does God speak out loud?" He said, "No, it's much louder than that." Has God ever spoken to you through His word? Just what I needed. I was at the bottom. I was at the bottom, and then all of a sudden, He spoke to me through His, just what I needed. Now I'm on top again. Why? The bridegroom is here. Sweet is thy voice. As long as I am seeing His face, this is what Solomon wrote, His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. I love this. He said, "Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me." I'm about to bust in here. You ever feel like the Lord blesses your heart through His word so much, "I can't take anymore"? I remember when the Lord was really dealing with my heart, listening to the gospel preached, thinking, it's time for you to stop. I can't take anymore. My heart's about to explode. He said, "Turn your eyes from me. They've overcome me." I almost can't take it. It's going to stop my heart. Solomon said, "Thy neck is as a tower of ivory." Could you imagine? All we want to do is hear His voice, see His face. As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Heaven is a happy place. There's no sadness there. There's no sorrow there. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care, and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary hath chosen that part which brings gladness to the soul, health to the navel, marrow to the bones. She's chosen comfort. She's chosen rest. She's chosen peace of heart by coming to the feet of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and sitting down right there just to hear His word. Anyone who comes to the bridegroom like that, it will not be taken from them. It will not be taken from them. Now, was there anything wrong with what Martha did? Was there anything wrong with everything that she did? Our Lord was there. His people were there. Was there anything wrong with her working as hard as she was working? Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, everything has a season. Everything. There's a time for everything. There's a time to work. There's a time to serve. There's a time to do. But I'll tell you this. When sorrows like sea billows roll, and if a child of God has never experienced that true sorrow over sin, just wait, it's coming. It's coming. And when sorrows like sea billows roll, that's the time to get to the feet of the bridegroom. That's the time. Being with our bridegroom, being near him, being close to him, that's the only remedy for sorrow over sin. That's the only one. Now turn with me over to John 21. I just want you to see his words here. And I'm hoping that we'll hear his voice in them. That's what I hope. I would love for every sinner who is keenly aware of his sin or her sin to hear the Lord's voice in this. John 21, verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine. Do we hear him? Come and dine. If any man thirst, let him come. If you're thirsty, it's because I made you to be that way, so I could bring you to fountains of living water. If any soul is hungry, I made you to be that way so you could come and dine. Come and dine. If you're sad, if you're sorrowing over your sin, if you're brokenhearted, if you're feeling guilt, it's because I made you to be that way, so I could pour the oil of joy all over you. That's what he said in Isaiah 61. I brought the oil of joy. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come and dine. Come and dine. Not fast. If you go to Christ now, you're going to have to fast. No, you're going to have to dine. As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. They cannot. Go with me back to Mark chapter 2. Verse 18 says, "And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." And we do from time to time, don't we? We do. We get lean. We get a little bit lean. Have you ever felt lean? Lean in heart, lean in spirit, lean in comfort, lean in joy. Sometimes you can't put your finger on it, but I don't have any joy. Well, I know where you can find it. Lean. That leanness, though, that we have from time to time, that's what keeps the children of the bride chamber coming back to the bridegroom. Every time. They come running back to the bridegroom, ready to delight their soul in fatness. Fast? Never. Not with the bridegroom. What do they feast on? What feeds their soul? It's something that they hear. It's something that they hear. They come to him loathing their sin, hating what is on them, hating what is in them. You ever experienced that? You ever had that? Hating. Lord, I'm so sorry. I hate what's on me. I hate what's in me. This is what he tells them every time they come that way. That way, this is what he tells them. Look at verse 21. "No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles." Lord, I hate my filthy rags. All that covers me is my sin.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry. I am not going to take a piece of my righteousness and sew it onto your old filthy rags. Don't you worry. I'm going to give you a brand new robe. You're getting a brand new robe. If you come to Christ absolutely sorrowing over the sin that is covering you, every sinner who comes like that will hear him say, "You're getting a brand new robe." Every time, I promise. Every single time. You're right. Your works are filthy. You have every reason to be sad, but be of good cheer. You're going to be wearing the same robe of perfection that every soul in glory wears. I've already reserved one for you. I embroidered your name on it. I was sitting right in the back writing all this out, thinking about this, and I know this is silly, but I was envisioning one of these days I'm going to, if there are indeed gates to my Lord's kingdom, I don't know. If there are, I was envisioning seeing them for the first time. Walking up to these gates. And there stands my Lord holding a robe. And on that robe is my name embroidered in it. And he says, here, try that on for size. Oh, it fits perfectly, Lord.
I know.
Welcome in. Your old filthy rags are destroyed. They were burned up in fiery wrath. Welcome in. And I'm not just going to make the outside right either. I didn't stop there. I'm going to do something on the inside too. That blood that I shed, don't you worry. I'm not going to add my blood to your blood. I didn't reform you. I'm not going to put my sinless blood in your sinful body. I'm not going to do it. No man puts new wine into old bottles. I'm going to make you a new creation. You are a new creation. Lord, I hate the sin that's in me. I hate the sin that's in that old sinful heart. You are a new bottle. I know you don't feel it yet, but you're a new bottle. You're a new creation. Your sin is dealt with inside and out. Only a sinner who feels his sin can enter in to the glory of hearing Christ say that. You know that? Inside and out. Come to Christ, and you won't be sorry you did. Verse 19, right here, Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. We're going to live the rest of our days in sorrow. I promise this world is full of sorrow. This sin is full of sorrow. Everything is tainted. Nothing makes you happy but the bridegroom. Every single time you find yourself in the bottom of that pit, and everywhere you look is a wall of that pit, look up. Cry out to the bridegroom. I promise you'll hear something that'll make you glad every single time. Come to him. All right, let's stand together.